The TARDIS is reporting that the planet is transmitting violent psychotropic waves throughout its atmosphere. The type of waves that mess with your brain, distort reality, change moods to the extreme. These are neural balancers. So long as you're wearing one, it should keep you immune to the waves. But you must keep it on at all times.
What happens if you lose them?
Don't lose them.
And it has to be us, does it? Answering these signals from this planet?
No, not at all. But everyone else has passed them by. You think we should do the same? I've locked onto a craft on the planet's surface. Here we go.
Hello everyone, welcome to our final episode for this season of Doctor Who, Series 11. The episode's called The Battle of Ranscor Ab Quellos, directed by Jamie Childs, written by Chris Chibnall, and I'm Greg Davies.
And I'm Tom Sheridar.
And we've got a lot to talk about this episode. I only really have a few points to make about the actual episode itself. Tom, you earlier on sent me an IM and shared your rating with me, and I'm pleased to say that I'm matching you on this. It's 4 out of 5 for me.
Yeah,
and
4 out of 5. That gives it 8.
Yeah, that gives it 8. It's a good episode, but there's some criticism there that we need to talk about at some point. I'm gonna let you take the lead. Do you want to start with the good stuff or the bad stuff?
Yeah. Well, first, let me say that it's 4 out of 5. Overall for the episode, if I'm just watching it, and I feel like even if you watch it out of order, it still feels like a pretty full episode, even if you have no context for Tim Shaw.
Right.
As a season ender, to me, it felt like they were, like, it's hard to be like, I didn't hate it. I didn't think it was bad. But at the same time, like, if you're only going to give me 10 episodes per season, and we'll get into other things I'm not going to discuss right now, why, you know, like, could you maybe offer a little bit bigger hook or something?
Yeah.
That sort of piques my interest, you know, beyond the episode airs, because as soon as this episode airs, the problem that I had with it and what I think really judges a good, you know, season ender is how much you are thinking about the characters and wanting to know what comes next or what's happening. And since we know Doctor Who is definitely coming back, we even got official word again. I'm not going to talk about that yet. Why didn't they utilize this?
Right.
Building the shows. Like, I want kind of same criticism as last time, is if you are going to have me accept and digest a 10 episode season, I want all of them to feel like they're 5 out of 5s. And this one felt like a throwaway episode almost.
Yeah, agreed. Like you said, I did enjoy this episode, but looking at it from the perspective of being a series finale, it didn't feel like a finale. I mean, there was not nearly the same amount of emotional weight or threat or pressure that we've seen in previous finales. And the other thing that came to mind as well is that usually, not all the time, but usually, with a series finale, you get to the end and you discover that the Doctor has learned something from the experience. Yeah. And I feel like the
inflection point there, because I feel like I know I can pinpoint it down to the line, to the exchange of where they had the opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. Kind of glad they didn't, because it added to the characterization of the Doctor. If you don't mind, I can just say it's the moment where she is giving a lecture to Tim Shaw, and she is saying, by the way, we talk massive spoilers on this show.
I think our listeners know about that by now.
This is the last episode of the season, where she is saying, you know, your actions have consequences. And he says back to her real matter-of-factedly in his Tim Shatter voice is, you know, that this is your action, this is your consequence of your interceding, which, because she sent him, she reverse activated his transport, which actually sent him on a different unknown part of the galaxy,
and back
thousands
in time.
Of years from where he was, and he had spent all this time concocting this plan, and he felt like he was a god. I feel like if we had watched David Tennant doctor, if we had watched a Matt Smith doctor, both of those mamby-pambies would have whined and agonized over their what they'd done and how they did things and how horrible it was. Whereas Capaldi would feel it but not show it. And finally, with Jodie Whittaker, we have a, that's not what I meant. Because clearly, everyone watching is like, it's not worth, no way. There's no way in hell. Like, you fix one problem, you had no idea where the solution went. I'm not taking the blame for that, even though past doctors, I feel like, absolutely would have. It was good in character building. It was bad for the reverberations of a season ender.
Yeah, like there's a weight of consequence in the previous series finales. Now, granted, the classic series, you know, it was a different time back then. So series finales were very different. Some of them were explosive, some of them were not. But you just kind of have to expect that with classic Doctor Who. But ever since we've had New Who, we've always had a roaring conclusion.
Yeah, to a season. And that was two showrunners.
Yeah,
and we got used to it. And yeah. It does. It feels like it very much. That's a good comparison, Greg. It feels like classic Who reimagined, but essentially following that same, you know, train of momentum, where you're not dropping all the cards, and there's a case to be made for why they didn't do that. I still feel like in the last 2 minutes of the episode, they could have offered something more that wouldn't have really taken away from the episode. Because if you go, one of the big criticisms I had for Moffat is that every season ender, I was like exhausted. They had already pulled out all the stops so many times.
Yeah.
That I was like, not good enough. Don't care. Did you really need to do that? This didn't even make for a good, you know. And it's harsh, but it's like, I think he was feeling that towards the end too. It was harder and harder to find a satisfying conclusion once you had told a year's worth of shows. I get it, but I don't like it.
Yeah, it's interesting reading the reactions on the web, Tom, and our listeners, as you know. After the episode, after I watch it, I play it again in the background while I dig around online and have a look at the reactions from people. And my two sources to get two different perspectives is the Reddit Doctor Who subreddit, which is mostly American audiences, and GallifreyBase.com, a forum, which is mainly the UK audience. There's a lot of crossover there, of course. The interesting thing about this was that the Americans hated this episode quite a lot. And
in American TV, you do not deprive people from their pull out all the stops conclusions.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like it's the payoff, isn't it? I mean, you get to the end and we're so adjusted to the new form of television that, you know, you expect things to ramp up at the end. And granted, of course, I know Chibnall was approaching this with an episodic approach, and I'll get back to that a little later. But that being said, over at Gallifrey Base, the UK fans absolutely loved it. They thought it was great. That, in fact, our rating of 8 out of 10 matches their rating.
Yeah, I was going to say, our rating did not deduct from what we're actually talking about. We're simply putting it in there because it's a missed opportunity.
Yeah. I think the best summary would be excellent episode, but probably the worst series finale we've seen in New Who.
And here's the other thing that we don't yet know. Perhaps Chibnall did this to give a somewhat conclusion. You know, I was right. we did see Tim Shaw again.
Yes, that was your prediction.
A couple times in this season.
Yes, that was your prediction, by the way. I wanted to make sure that I praised you for that, because you were the first, I think, to mention that, yeah, this dude's coming back.
Nice to meet you, Baltrake. Neural balance are kicking in? Don't push too hard. They work slowly. He'll come back.
Whoa. What is that?
We can answer it for you. Do you want us to activate it?
Get out of the viewing line. Do as I say, son.
Okay.
Baltrake.
What do you want?
You must return to us. The Creator commands it.
Baltrake. Do you remember me, Baltrake?
I know that voice. Is that...
It can't be.
I want what is mine returned.
And why would I do that?
For your crew. Return what you took, or I will dismantle them piece by piece, beamed directly into your ship.
Baltrake, don't come back. Don't worry about us. You got what we came for.
Yeah, and it's, win. I mean, it's, if you see anybody in the first episode, you just sort of can draw the conclusion. He went all out, and the fact that he was like, this is the scariest looking humanized villain that we have seen on Doctor Who in decades, I think. And to name him Tim Shaw is like, oh, that guy's coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy's definitely coming back. Because you don't put a villain out there that's that scary without giving him a name like that, and then banishing him without giving him a conclusion. I was like, we'll see.
Yeah. I did see some criticisms online that only the first two episodes really referenced Tim Shaw and his species. And the criticism that I kind of agree with this as far as the season as a whole, that they really should have done something towards the end of this series, say maybe in episode 7 or 8, which brought back a reference to Tim Shaw or his species to
keep
it fresh.
You mean like if they had a traditional 13-episode run like all the past Doctor Who seasons that we have been treated to?
Yeah, but I feel like for a 10-episode season... I think we've had a few fillers this season that and that's really for limiting it to 10 episodes, as far as being one of the oldest science fiction television franchise in history, it's unacceptable for Doctor Who.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I'm willing to get Chibnall. So overall, I think it was a stronger season than the first two seasons of Moffat Capaldi, where I was actually really over him. And the last season of Matt Smith, I was just completely over where it felt tight. There were really good stories in there.
Yeah.
But overall, and I'm only talking overall, the seasons themselves felt really tired and weak and like they were sort of running out of steam. And it is. It's very difficult to run a series for that long, even when you get to change some of the elements. And I think that... Moffat did it masterfully. I don't think many people could take and run with it without getting a network involved, and then you can sort of see the edges, you know, where it's like, oh, hey, let's watch any of these DC Universe shows or these Marvel shows, and hey, I bet none of the characters that we care about are going to die at the end of it, ever, and you know that, and it's like, and all the perimeters of the show sort of start to like, you know, and it becomes like kind of tedious to finish if it's not a good idea. And I never felt like Doctor Who got there, although they did come close. This season was better than that. But damn it, why can't we have another two episodes?
Yeah, I agree. In addition to that, I was thinking about this today, and I think my comparison to previous seasons is, do you remember Series 7, like the first half to three quarters of that season, Moffat decided to make it episodic?
Yep.
You know, and we had some great episodes in there, like Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, which actually is a Chris Chibnall episode, by the way.
One of my favorite episodes of all time.
But there were a few episodes in there that just, like, we were pretty critical of, like the town called Mercy, for one. It felt like it should have been a two-parter. They underused many of the actors that they had managed to score for that one.
Yeah, you had Ben Browder in that episode.
Right.
For folks that are a fan of Farscape and Stargate SG-1, the later seasons, he's kind of a sci-fi underground legend.
Yeah. And so I feel that an apt comparison would be the first part of that Series 7. The other comparison I'm willing to make is that especially the first season of Peter Capaldi's run, like the prevailing thought that you and I both agreed on frequently through the season is Peter Capaldi is amazing. He's a phenomenal actor. We love him as the Doctor. But he's just not getting the material he deserves as an actor.
No.
Right? And I feel kind of similar to that with Jodie Whittaker for this season. I feel like she did not get the material she deserved as good an actor as she is.
It felt like she was a supporting character in her own show.
Yeah.
More often than it didn't. And I know that's a pretty big criticism because everything sort of works because of the Doctor. But I almost feel like that was very barely true. Like, you could have just swapped out any senior space-time faring traveler and, you know, you could have figured the same shit out. And that part came at a sacrifice to all the wonderful characterization we got from the companions, who I do feel like we know very well. I'm very attached to them. And, you and I would have lamented many times over if Graham had bought the big one in this episode.
Yeah.
Because he's our favorite.
Yeah. And I mean, by the way, Bradley Cooper, I think his name is, who played...
It's not Bradley Cooper.
No, that's not right. Sorry. Bradley Walsh. Yes. Sorry. I was thinking of Rocket Raccoon. Bradley Walsh, who plays Graham O'Brien, was fabulous this episode. He had a very strong demeanor. He was very... overwrought. The whole subplot of I'm going to kill him it was obviously predictable. We knew that it wasn't going to happen. The interactions between him, the Doctor,
Did you think Graham was going to die at the end of this episode?
I thought there was a possibility.
Doc, can I have a word?
Of course.
Just the two of us. Fine. Come on, yes. I need to be honest with you, because I am really grateful for everything you've done for me. Well, for us, you know, everywhere we've been, all the adventures, been amazing. But if that is the creature from Sheffield, I will kill it if I can. For what it did to Grace.
Go back to the TARDIS, Graham.
No.
I won't let you do that.
You ain't gonna have a say in it.
You're better than this. You are. You have to be. If you kill him, I can't have you travel with me. That's if you even live.
I understand.
No, you don't. We're going to rescue hostages. Anything that compromises them is dangerous. And if you kill him, you become the same as him.
I ain't having that.
I'm serious, Graham.
So am I.
I thought he was definitely going to die.
Yeah.
Or that he was going to choose to leave or get displaced in some way and sort of really make that exchange that he and Ryan shared at the end of last episode where he finally calls him granddad.
Right.
Where he's kind of, he said that and it kind of helped him out. But when he told him granddad again, he sort of brushed it off. That's where I was like, surely he's not going to make it out at the end of this because Ryan's going to have something that he's wished he would have done more or sooner or something. And we didn't get that. And it just feels like it's back and forth, like from a story mechanics. I wonder like why we didn't, they spent so much time building up something like that. And it just felt like, and then maybe that's why this season ender didn't feel like it was, it mattered as much is because there was nothing really felt like it was at stake.
Yeah.
Nothing really got sacrificed.
Yeah.
Everything was neat and tidy and in its own box and where it should be at the end of this.
Or the threat of sacrifice.
Yeah, there's literally no reason whatsoever. And it also, because this was a season episode, we're not talking about Greg. And we've been on there for like, what, over 15 minutes now?
Yeah.
20 minutes now? And we have barely talked about the undertones, which is I felt huge undertones about the whole back and forth gun thing, where you can see that reaching its natural conclusion because that had to be more of a theme for the Doctor, because what's the deterrent otherwise to make Graham not shoot this villain who, you know, killed his wife or right. led to the death of his wife. We're not talking about how the undertones of that advanced civilization that can build worlds and move worlds, having to go out and learn and understand and know people and not blindly follow their faith, but also not lose their faith. We're not talking about any of that stuff, because we're talking about why is this the last episode of the season?
Right, right.
And I think if anything, that's why the Americans hated it.
Yeah, before we jump into the rest of the positive stuff, there's one other point I want to make, because we were talking about the general reaction to fans from this season, and I was stunned to find out somebody has sent me a couple of links to Doctor Who seasons at RottenTomatoes.com. This season, now it got a high rating from critics who were mostly praising, oh, isn't it great that the Doctor's a woman now? Which, yeah, that's great, but that's not really the
sounds like
highlight.
The editor being like, hey, cover the Doctor Who thing because it's hot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but the fan rating for series 11, 48%. You compare that to last season, Peter Scapaldi's last season, 73%.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of mixed feelings about Doctor Who Series 11, and that certainly has contributed to it. And I went and read some of the audience reviews, and I was kind of thinking that there was going to be, you know, some people going, oh, it's all political correctness now and, you know, the gender change thing and blah, blah, blah. But no, it's there are actually some people who were really – critical about this. Awful, one person says, just awful, won't be watching this again for a long time. No stars, very disappointing, terrible stories except episode 10. It felt more like a Doctor Who story. Lots of criticism from fans at RottenTomatoes.com.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, also for like a plot that was really sort of not entirely regurgitated from a slightly different perspective from something we've already seen from Classic Who.
Yes, I'm glad you
And I'm talking about Pirate Planet.
Aha.
Yes, which is written by the legendary Douglas Adams. And it was a Tom Baker episode. You know, it's one of the ones that really stuck out for me as one of the best Tom Baker serials. But I don't want to talk about all that. I can't really dig into the meat of what's good about this episode, which you and I have kind of determined at this point is not really debatable that it was good.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, I don't know. It didn't even leave me with a bad taste in my mouth. It just left me with a bone to pick with the announcement that was made shortly after this episode aired.
Yeah, we'll come to that a bit later, because there's a couple of other things I want to mention about the episode itself. We do know that Chris Chibnall, when it comes to Doctor Who, he's a bit of a derivative writer. So, for example, when he did 42, it was loosely based on the concept of the TV show 24. When he did Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, the title was loosely based on Snakes on a Plane. And, of course, the opening episode for this season, there were some Predator references in there. I felt this episode, even though it was a little derivative in some places, I'm praising this only because I'm a Star Wars geek. It felt like a bit of a Star Wars episode. The Yucks felt like Jedi. And they had the Sith rule of two. We even had a Death Star in the form of the shrine. Even yep. Tim Shaw has a breathing apparatus like Darth Vader.
Yep. Definitely caught that.
And, you know, it was almost like a desert-looking trash planet like Jakku. And there were lots of little tips of the hat to Star Wars there. And I actually kind of liked it. It didn't take me out of the episode.
Even with all the other desolate planets that we have visited this season?
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't. It didn't
bug me. We've seen quite a few of them.
We have. But that's, you know, good old classic Doctor Who going down to the quarry to film some scenes. The other thing I want to say is Mark Addy.
Well, that makes sense, though. But they went on location for so many episodes this year.
Yeah.
That I would expect they could come up with something slightly better than, and it's another desolate planet with only 5 inhabitants.
You know, and one of the things we praised at the beginning of the season was the cinematic quality of those early episodes. And I really didn't get that feeling with this episode.
I didn't either.
And, you know, it's disappointing that there was like some inconsistencies there. It would have been nice to, you know, have a nice visual payoff in the form of some great visual photography. The other thing I really loved was Mark Addy, who played Paltraki.
Well, that's all you remember? Being back in your ship without your crew?
Nothing before that.
There's a reason I should have left. I can nearly remember.
The doctor said don't push. The memories will return.
Hey, yes, look. You all seen those.
What happened here?
Those that came before us. That failed and fell. The vanquished of Ranskor Avkolot. But that's not all. Look beyond.
What are you looking at?
Look at the mists. Through the battlefield, onto the edifice. That was our destination.
We're not gonna go through there, are we? No one in their right mind's gonna go through there.
He did a great job, actually.
Yeah. But, do you know who Mark Addy is?
Yeah, he's one of those faces that I definitely immediately recognized, but I could not immediately place.
He was first well known for his role in The Full Monty, but he is most well known for being King Robert Baratheon in Game of Thrones.
That's him! Yeah, okay, sir. All right.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a wonderful actor anyway, and I thought his performance was stunning. I thought he did a great job. I liked Jodie in this episode, but again, for me, Bradley Walsh stole the show as Graham. And, you know, he's been great this season. And I will say this again, and I'm not saying this to poke fun at political correctness or anything like that, but in a world today where there's a big push for diversity, which is not necessarily a bad thing, we have probably the most diverse cast on Doctor Who in quite some time. And yet, the most popular companion this season, arguably, has been the old white guy, you know, which I don't know what that says, but I find it interesting. I would like to see in next season that we get much more of Yaz.
Also, I don't think that that's necessarily a fair to bucket in because, I mean, you know, Bradley, he had the material, and to really showcase his acting skills.
Yeah.
Whereas we had said on many occasions, Capaldi is made into this stoic-looking, slightly irritated doctor out of, like, necessity because of where they led the story and what they can do with it. And we even talked about how some of the episodes almost felt like they didn't really work because the only thing that changed was the characterization of the doctor. Like the Robin Hood episode with a Matt Smith might have been far more fun. Whereas with Capaldi, it just fell flat.
Was that the first season of Peter Capaldi when they did Robin Hood? I think it is.
I can't remember.
But, well, if it is, you need to remember that before the writers, you know, get to meet Peter Capaldi, they're still kind of writing with Matt Smith in mind. So there's always a transition going on there.
But that's easily done by plucking in a writer who has never written for Matt Smith and is previously not as familiar with the show.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what we had this season. We had all new writers, all new directors, all new villains, episodic in nature. There was no real overarching arc. And I think that actually hurt this season. So maybe we might see a little bit more connectivity in the following season.
Yeah.
But that
it only hurt because each and every single episode did not feel like it was absolutely 100% necessary and important. If you're going to not have an overarching storyline, even in episodic form, then you very well better make sure that you're willing to, you know, deliver the goods, I guess. You know, Game of Thrones only has 10 episodes. Their budget is quite a bit larger, and they're also competing with lots of very high in demand actors that are like making millions of dollars per episode, and they can do that. Whereas Doctor Who just changes their casts out, and most of the people who are working on the show know that they are terribly underpaid compared to what jobs that they have turned down.
Right.
To do them. And so,
because it's the Beeb.
Yeah. So it's yes and no. I remember the story about Moffat was actually working on a script with Steven Spielberg, the Steven Spielberg, and Steven Spielberg fired him and said, no, you got to go do Doctor Who. Like, you have to do Doctor Who. I want to watch it.
Yeah.
Was basically his excuse, where it was an easy, exchange because Steven Moffat had already decided to do it anyway. But that's kind of where I'm at. Can we finally talk about the thing that's wrinkled my feathers?
Yes, because it's wrinkled mine too. I'm going to go to radiotimes.com because they were the first to report this after the BBC
issue. That Radio Times.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Radio Times, of course, is a famous UK publication, and it's been around for, God, ages. And, you know, they've always done wonderful reporting on Doctor Who, far better than many other media outlets, by the way. So we just found out over the weekend, the announcement actually came on Saturday, I think. It's dated Sunday on Radio Times, but they're ahead of us. Doctor Who Series 12 will not be coming in 2019. It's coming in 2020. Now, they do say early 2020, so whatever that means.
It sounds like they're going to just kick off with whatever, if we get a Christmas special or a New Year's Eve special, and just run from there. But honestly, and this is the criticism that I saw, judging from Chibnall and his pace, not to hold your breath for that. And that if we did get a special next year, it would quite literally be the least that they could possibly deliver to us because of that delay. And it was developed as such because there was definitely going to be a delay.
Well, it's possible. But if they do something like that, like a Christmas or a New Year's or holiday special or whatever, I think if anything, it'll be like a bridging piece between the New Year special we're about to get to the first episode of Series 12. So we'll have to see how it goes. But it really disappointed me that after this season, I mean, there's good and bad about this season. First of all, the ratings have been through the roof. They've been very popular this year. But the fan ratings, like at Rotten Tomatoes, were absolutely terrible compared to recent seasons. So, I'm not sure the logic behind this decision.
I know exactly what it is.
Go ahead.
So the way that the BBC produces content is not, you know, in America, we have a very pronounced understanding of how TV shows function and how to kind of stoke and kind of further grow demand of a show. And you know that about the time frame. It's been kind of operationalized to do one per season, one per year, where you may have one or two periodic breaks. Even when you cut the episode counts down, you can still build momentum over the course of a year. We see with CBS, who is dumping gobs and gobs and gobs and gobs of money into Star Trek, and also realizing that they're actually doing it in a way that you and I didn't like, and fans, were up in arms for years upon years mm-hmm. before understanding the legalities behind it. The way that they're addressing not having a 26 episode every single year starts about the same time is they've got like Star Trek shorts that kind of build on the characterization. You know, we're getting some spin-off shows. We're getting a Picard show. We're getting there's one other one that I'm not remembering.
Is that animated comedy or whatever that is?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. It's supposed to be the Rick and Morty of the Star Trek universe, which yeah. I don't quite know how that'll work out, but I'm pretty psyched about it.
Yeah.
The point being is that even down to the announcements, as you know, you've got a dearth of like 6 months where you've got no new content. That's what those things were done to do, is to feed the beast, to support the story, to not kind of take away from the momentum and building up over between seasons, but to kind of make sure that you are growing and strengthening that bond and that engagement with people who want more stories. And they don't even have to be big, giant, expensive, crazy ones. How much did we talk about, Greg, when we had the Eighth Doctor, Paul McGann, come back just for that little short and kind of weave into the 50th anniversary?
If you refer to your companion, we are still attempting to extract her from the wreckage.
She wasn't my companion.
She's almost certainly dead. No one could survive that crash.
I did.
No. We restored you to life, but it's a temporary measure. You have a little under 4 minutes.
4 minutes? That's ages. What if I get bored? I need a television, a couple of books, anyone but chess? Bring me knitting.
You have so little breath left. Spend it wisely.
Hang on. Is it you? Am I back on Khan? You're the Sisterhood of Khan. Keepers of the flame of utter boredom.
Eternal life.
That's the one.
Mockers, if you will. But our elixir can trigger your regeneration. Bring you back. Time Lord Science is elevated here on Khan. The change doesn't have to be random. Fat or thin. Young or old. Man or woman.
Why would you do this for me?
You have helped us in the past.
You will never be on gratitude.
The war between the Daleks and the Time Lords threatens all reality. You are the only hope left.
It's not my war. I will have no part of it.
You can't ignore it forever.
I help where I can. I will not fight.
Because you are the good man, as you call yourself.
I call myself the Doctor.
It's the same thing in your mind.
I'd like to think so.
In that case, Doctor, attend your patient.
I love that so much. Can't imagine it took a huge budget. Can't imagine it took tons of planning. And it was probably something Moffat had always wanted to do anyway and was just sort of waiting around for a good excuse and a yes. But it was like, it was brilliant, and I love those things. I also could probably tell that Moffat, I doubt, got paid a whole lot extra for those types of deals, whereas you look at Chibnall and you look at the way that the BBC handles their content, they don't care about any rhyme or reason. The show gets done when the show gets done. It's even worse than with HBO's, because HBO, the bigger the budget, the harder it is to nail down filming schedules for your increasingly popular casts. You understand the delays, and you understand why they cap it at 10 episodes. Doctor Who undoubtedly has a larger budget. They do a lot more things with this show that they normally would never, ever think to do with any of the other ones, even the well-known ones. But that being said, I think they can do better than 10 episodes every 18 months to 2 years. I am very happy that they released these these serials from back in the day where only the audio survived, and they're filling it in with animation.
Yeah,
but the announcements are pretty lopsided in that you can even tell the BBC is not thinking of this property the way that other media entertainment companies traditionally would look at their franchise beast.
Right. Let's
make sure that they want to keep doing it. All right. I've talked a long time on it. Shut up and let you talk now.
I'm in agreement with you completely with this whole 2020 thing, and I'm disappointed in it, and it really let me down when I read the news. Now, you mentioned some news there that we haven't brought up on the show yet, and I wanted to bring it up because I love this news, and that is it's been announced that a brand new animation of a missing Doctor Who serial is going to be released in March. And that is Patrick Troughton's Doctor in The Macra Terror. I'm really excited about this too. The Macra Terror is a great episode. It's a good classic Doctor Who, but it's been a missing episode for years. But sure. Dedicated fans, as our listeners may already know, back in the day before VCRs were around, they used to record the audio of the television broadcast. And many people still have their copies of that and have returned them to the BBC. And so they're actually using the audio from those recordings to do 4 25-minute episodes of the serial, The Macra Terror. The reason I really wanted to bring that up was because this news came out just after you made a New Who recommendation of the episode Deadlock. Which, of course, features the Macra. It's the only time we've ever seen them again. And that news came out, I think it was literally the day after we recorded. So, that's great news. I'm glad they're still doing this. And on top of that, I also want to bring up...
Well, hold on. Before we go into that, I got another point to tag on to. Yeah. I'll shut up again. We have so many teleplays, audio... stories and the like over the years. We have got some phenomenal content with original voice actors, mind you. If the BBC really wanted to do more of this, they don't have to pull out all the stops the way that they're doing for this new serial, this unreleased or this Lost to Time serial. They could be doing this on a smaller budget with a slightly different focus, and I would be happy with that if you're going to make me wait a year and a half before you give me new episodes, and there's only going to be 10.
Right. In relation to this, I do want to bring up, we've not talked about this. We've only mentioned this on the show, I think, during the last series, and that is that this year, earlier in the year, there was a re-release of the abandoned Tom Baker episode Sharda, written by Douglas Adams, and they used all the footage that they had, plus the footage that they didn't have, they actually made animation from and got the actors back in to do voiceovers, including Tom Baker. Now have you watched that yet, Tom?
I've actually not, dude. It's on my list of things to watch over holiday break.
I would kick it up to number one, sir, because I tell you what, not only is it good, it's amusing, it's a good story, it's Douglas Adams for crying out loud, but there's a beautiful surprise right at the very end of the last couple of moments of the episode.
When I was on the river, I heard a strange babble of inhuman voices.
You brought a book from Gallifrey to Cambridge.
If Skagra has the TARDIS and the book, he can get to Sharda.
Sharda?
Do not fight, or you will die.
Doctor, your mind shall be mine.
I'm not mad about your tailor.
Kill them.
Skagra, stop!
What have you done?
Doctor!
I'm in for a very, very rough ride.
Run!
Sharda. Let the universe prepare itself.
And they've done it in a cinematic way. They haven't broken it up into episodes. They've just put everything together as one big, enjoyable movie. So, highly recommend that. Go and check it out. And that's great. obviously, my classic Doctor Who recommendation this week is going to be the one you mentioned, the Pirate Planet. Of course, there were a lot of aspects of this episode.
Two-parter, right? Or is it more than two
four,
parts?
Four, I think. Yeah. Yeah, and it's one of Douglas Adams' best episodes. It was the first season with Mary Tam playing Romana, the first Romana. And it's just a wonderful episode. Lots of humor, completely nuts. But the concept of shrinking planets is precisely what was adapted to this season finale that we just reviewed. And so it's a good episode to watch. It's obviously related to this one. So go check it out. DVD, Blu-ray, streaming, it's out there. You can find it. And if you've never seen it before and you're curious about some Tom Baker episodes, this is one of the top ones that Tom and I absolutely love from Tom Baker's series. So there you go. You got any new Who recommendations, Tom?
No, I actually couldn't think of one that really made me think about this episode. I just kept thinking about the Pirate Planet.
What about your favorite series finale of New Who?
Oh, man. I'm going to go back to, and this also doubles for my... No, it doesn't double for Christmas. I think it was the Christmas special last year.
For the
end of Capaldi.
Yeah, technically not a series finale, but yeah, that was good.
But that's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Outro.
Speaking of which, this may be the final episode for this series of Doctor Who, but we will be back in about a couple of weeks. It'll be a little before Christmas. Tom and I are going to record an episode, and he's going to pick his favorite Christmas special, and I'm going to pick mine, and we're going to break them down, and we're going to recommend them to you as a couple of episodes you can check out in the absence of a Christmas special this year. So that's coming up. We're going to make those recommendations. We're going to bring up some interesting little facts about Doctor Who, classic Doctor Who. And, of course, we'll read any comments that we receive and discuss any news that comes up. So that's coming up soon in a couple of weeks. And then about a week after that, or a little over that, we'll be reviewing the next episode of Doctor Who, which is the New Year's Day special entitled Resolution. A couple of rumors going about this episode, Tom. The rumor that is most prevalent among fans at Gallifrey Base is that there's a confidential agreement between the Terry Nation estate and BBC. Now, Terry Nation, as you probably know, was the creator of the Daleks. Copyright worked a little differently in the UK back in the 60s and 70s, where if an individual created a new character, they would own the copyright, not the owner of the series. So anything with the Daleks, the Terry Nation estate gets some coin from that. So the rumor is that there's a contract where the Daleks must appear once a season in New Who. I don't know if that's real. I doubt that it is, but that's the prevailing rumor. So the thinking is that if it is true that the big bad of the New Year special is going to be the Dalek or the Daleks.
I really hope it isn't.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, there's a couple of trailers out there. They had the Next Time trailer at the end of this episode, and they had a much broader trailer put up on their YouTube channel.
The reason why I hope it's not, and I hope that they do use, or honestly, like I feel like they come up with some other better way to count the Dalek reference than having to factor it into your story scripts, and because honestly, I feel like that's why we see a lot of staleness across longtime genres. I would love to see a more prominent villain type or antagonist from classic Who. I mean, who have we yet to hear from? We've never heard from the Rani.
Yeah, that's true.
We've never heard from There's quite a few.
I've always wanted to see the Draconians come back. They were a villain that showed up in John Pertwee's era. They were mentioned in the Pandorica Falls, but we never saw them. And the design for the aliens was actually pretty damn good back in the day. So they could easily adapt that. That's one group of people I'd love to see in Doctor Who. But who knows? We're going to have an interesting time with this New Year special. Some people are hoping that it feels more like a season finale, especially after the news we won't be getting any new episodes until 2020. So we'll see how that pans out as we move along. And at this point, that is all I have. Do you have anything else, Tom?
That's all I got.
All right, folks, we'll see you in a couple of weeks for our Christmas special, just a little chat about our favorite Christmas episodes of Doctor Who.
Less anger, too, swear.
Yes, indeed. We will be also back for the New Year special, so we hope to see you soon. Obviously, with a year to wait, Tom and I will probably do an episode or two during 2019 just to catch up on some news and rumors, but there's not going to be very much for us in
Maybe
Doctor
Who. Maybe we review the, those animated episodes.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. By the way, I just want to close out with the most critical comment I saw about this particular season finale, and that was a comment at Reddit, and I'm paraphrasing here, and this person said, "It's nice to see they rebooted the Sarah Jane Adventures. When's Doctor Who back?" I thought that was pretty funny.
That is, I would say that's a quality burn.
Yes, indeed. Yeah,
I don't agree with it at all. But no, it's but a quality burn.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. All right, folks, that's it. We'll catch you next time, and we'll see you soon. Leave us some comments about the finale, and we'll talk about them on the show. Until that time, I'm Greg Davies.
And I'm Tom Chodo.
And we'll see you then. Bye.